You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. Health insurance could become more expensive for more than 230,000 West Virginians after the State Public Employees Insurance Agency, or PEIA, Finance Board voted unanimously yesterday to reinstate benefit cuts. As Ashton Mara reports, board members had initially approved the cuts in December, but were assured by lawmakers the program would receive more funding during this year's legislative session.
When lawmakers told PEIA customers they would provide additional funds to offset the $120 million in benefit cuts approved by the Finance Board in December, they weren't exactly lying. Both the House and Senate approved budgets that included the extra funding. The problem is both chambers approved different versions of that budget and then left town without first coming to an agreement, leaving West Virginia without a funding bill for 2017. So Wednesday, when the PEIA Finance Board meant to reconsider the health care plans available to state employees in the upcoming year, some expressed dissatisfaction with the legislature's inability to pass a budget thus far. Elaine Harris, who represents labor on the board, said she felt backed into a corner, like there was nothing else board members could do but vote for benefit reductions. Mary Jane Pickens chairs the board.
I think the board has been placed in a difficult position. I think we do have good leadership, but I think there's a lot of challenges around the budget this year that have placed the board, that have really limited the decision or the choices that this board can make.
The $120 million in cuts means more money will come out of the pockets of not just state employees, but also retirees. But the board approved the changes with the understanding that should lawmakers approve a budget that increases PEIA funding in the next year, they can come back and rework the plans. PEIA Director Ted Cheatham says the timeline does get tricky, though. If a budget with increased funding isn't approved by the first week in June, there could be a lapse in the payment of claims.
I need 30 days to make it operational to pay a claim. So I'm going to have to shut the plan down and say, look, I can't pay claims until I get the system right. That doesn't mean you can't go to the doctor. Doesn't mean you can't go to the pharmacy. It means you're going to have to pay cash, or the doctor will just take your copay and bill us later and we'll pay later.
At the State House, Governor Tomlin says talks are still ongoing with legislative leaders over a solution for the state's budgetary issues. He's hopeful they can have something in place by early June.
I feel very confident that we should have some sort of an agreement. Otherwise, if we just have to go in and make cuts, it's going to be disastrous for the people who depend on state services.
House Speaker Tim Armstead and Senate President Bill Cole released a joint statement last week calling the PEIA board meeting and the vote unnecessary because lawmakers are fully committed to funding the program at increased levels to avoid the cuts. But under PEIA rules, the board has to approve a health plan that is financially viable with the funding it has available when open enrollment begins Saturday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Governor Tomlin signed a bill this week giving more than 1,700 nurse practitioners in West Virginia the ability to diagnose and treat patients without physician oversight. Carol Lofton reports.
Nurse practitioners are currently required to work under the guidance of a physician. But in the past, advanced practice nurses couldn't always find physicians to sign off on their work, sometimes leaving patients without care. House Bill 4334 attempts to address that problem. Advocates of the recently passed bill said physician oversight has limited the ability of nurse practitioners, who are nurses with master's level or doctorate training, to practice to the full scope of their ability. The hope is that the bill will also help expand access to care in rural areas and alleviate West Virginia's provider shortage. Nurse practitioners will still need a physician's signature when prescribing opioids and other heavy-duty narcotics. The bill takes effect in June with the requirement of a legislative review of the system in 2 years. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning. It's 7:48. Today's expected to be rainy with some thunderstorms and gusty winds. Highs will be in the upper 60s and lower 70s. And tonight, expect the rain and thunderstorms to continue with lows in the 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
Mountain Music Trail is open and ready for visitors. The Mountain Music Trail consists of venues throughout five counties in eastern West Virginia that came together to promote the traditional music, dance, and folkways of the Allegheny Mountain region. The trail follows along scenic route 219 through Tucker, Randolph, and Pocahontas, and it's now the subject of a special television program being featured on West Virginia PBS. Beth Voorhees talked with West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Vasily Ascoris, who helped produce the short video pieces highlighting the various stops on the Mountain Music Trail.
Well, hey, hey, the fun's all over. Jumped in the bed and the bed turned over. Fiddler's drunk and the fun's all over. Now I'm going home to my family.
Vasily, many years ago, when I was involved in the production of our program Inside Appalachia, my favorite interview I ever conducted was with an author who put together a book and a compilation CD about the Crooked Road, the music heritage of Virginia. And when I heard about the Mountain Music Trail, it reminded me of that interview and that book and that experience of traveling the Crooked Road. Will this kind of pattern that, the Mountain Music Trail?
I think really what we tried to do was to give folks who both were familiar with 219 and the Mountain Music Trail, and also folks that were looking for a very genuine experience, an idea of what they would get if they were to take that trip. So I hope, you know, folks who both watch the television special or watch the vignettes on the website will be able to see, you know, a visual travelogue and kind of, you know, that spirit that is in those mountains and run for the hills.
Mm-hmm. Where did this idea pop up from?
Well, we started a partnership with Wild Wonderful West Virginia last February. And when we were talking about things that we can do as both public broadcasting, Mountain Stage, and Wild Wonderful West Virginia to encourage people to experience what is happening here in the Mountain State, we thought about the Mountain Music Trail, and it seemed like just such a natural fit. You know, there's unique things that are happening there. It's authentic. It's mountain music. But it's not just mountain music. There's plenty of influences from other places. But it's just very unique. You know, you've got these five counties in West Virginia, and so much happens there. They're a little off the map. Mm-hmm. And you might not know to stop there. So our goal is to maybe help you plan a weekend trip and go to Tucker County or go visit the Brazen Head when they have a kind of traditional Celtic night of music. And there's a lot of crossover between Appalachian music and Irish tunes, and the Brazen Head has definitely cornered that market.
Now, what's the Brazen Head?
The Brazen Head Inn is an inn that feels like you are in Ireland when you are there. It's really quite wonderful, and it's actually named after the Brazen Head, which is in Dublin. It's like the oldest pub in Dublin. So what they've been able to do is create this living room environment in a bar, you know, but they also, you can stay there. It's really, really, really cool, really unique. It's very close to Snowshoe. But they have, you know, writers retreats, and sometimes you'll be there and the whole place is just full of musicians, you know, so you never know what'll happen on the Mountain Music Trail.
You mentioned the Brazen Head Inn, which sounds fantastic. But if we travel the Mountain Music Trail, what else can we see? What else stands out to you?
The drive alone is beautiful, and it changes the entire time. So whether you're starting in Monroe County, you know, right at the border of Virginia and heading up through West Virginia, it's a little bit more farmland. You know, it's beautiful, beautiful sunsets through there. I mean, every time we were driving through Monroe County, I felt like I was constantly looking in my rearview mirror at these gorgeous sunsets. The film crew was probably so annoyed with me because I was always like, stop, we have to get this. But the landscape changes so dramatically, and it changes very quickly. And I think that also changes within the tunes of the fiddle. You know, each place, a little pocket, is known for something else or for a person who was born there and, you know, is passing on that tradition. It's just really unique.
We're finally noticing it and putting it all together. Mm-hmm. There were all of these little pockets. They were all separate. But the Mountain Music Trail sounds like there's a connection, and it's logical. And when you travel up and you see the different landscapes, you mm-hmm. meet the different people, you hear the different music, then it's all connected.
Absolutely.
Up until now, it's been all separate.
And I think that's part of the magic, too. You've got these little mountain towns that were just completely cut off from other things, and that is also the reason that they've been able to continue to live and thrive. You know, you have the Hammonds family in Pocahontas County. Well, they didn't leave their commune much. You know, the folks that were able to kind of go in and learn from the Hammonds are the ones that are now responsible for sharing it with the world. And there's some magic there.
Vasilia Skoris,
the
Mountain Music Trail. Congratulations on this project, and thank you.
Thank you.
A television special about the Mountain Music Trail airs at 7 o'clock p.m. Sunday, April 3rd, and again at 10:30 p.m. Friday, April 15th on West Virginia PBS. 37,000 West Virginians have Alzheimer's disease, according to a report released this week from the National Alzheimer's Association. Carol Lofton reports.
The 2016 Alzheimer's Disease Facts and Figures Report includes a national survey on the financial cost of Alzheimer's or dementia. It shows the diseases can be really expensive for families and caregivers, costing Americans $236 billion in 2016. In West Virginia, there are more than 100,000 Alzheimer's caregivers, providing more than 120 million hours of unpaid care. That work is valued at over $1.5 billion. Nationwide, nearly half of those at-home caregivers must cut back on their own expenses in order to afford dementia-related care, and more than a third lost income due to employment disruption. Those resulted in an average loss of approximately $15,000 in income compared to the previous year. The report projects that by 2025, the number of West Virginians with Alzheimer's or another dementia-related disease will increase by almost 20%. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
A $500 million manufacturing facility under construction in Martinsburg has announced the products it will produce. Ashton Mara has more.
Procter & Gamble will manufacture laundry, hair care, and body wash products at the facility that will provide 700 permanent jobs. During a press conference Wednesday, Governor Tomlin announced the hub will produce some of P&G's most popular and well-known products like Bounce Fabric Softener, Head & Shoulder Shampoo, and Olay Body Wash. Production is scheduled to begin for some products in late 2017. Commerce Secretary Keith Burdett says West Virginia began talks with P&G on the project in November 2013, and the company's investment in West Virginia proves the state has made strides in creating a better business climate.
I think that really says a lot about how West Virginia has become more competitive. That if we can find the right location that meets a company's need, we can match up very well. We just have to get a chance. And Procter & Gamble gave us a chance.
Burdett expects the company to announce the production of more products at the facility in the future. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we're interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. And you can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara, our director is Teresa Wills, and I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.